Dear Heavenly Father, as we have gathered ourselves here in this evening hour, Lord, we pray Thee that as we open Thy Word, that the message would be meaningful and relevant to our lives in this day. Father, we pray Thee that Thy Spirit would speak to us and that we would feel Thy presence in our hearts, in our minds, within Thy temple, our bodies. Lord, as Thou dost speak to us through this Thy living Word, we look to Thee in all things, ask Thee Thy blessings upon one and all that has gathered, as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. For this evening's reading, let's turn to the Old Testament and read the familiar account of the Battle of Jericho, found in Joshua chapter number 6. Joshua chapter number 6. That's on page 265 in the Pew Bible. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given unto thy hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, Pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord, and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant and of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the rearward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, Ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth, until the day I bid you shout, then shall ye shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord, and the priest bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns, before the ark of the Lord, went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. But the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the 2nd day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp, so they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose up early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass on the 7th time that when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And the city was accursed, even And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed things, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take up the accursed thing, make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron and are consecrated unto the Lord, they shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted with when the priests blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and women, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass with the edge of the sword. But Joshua said unto the two men that had spied out the country, Go into the harlot's house, and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had, and they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein. Only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had, and she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, Cursed be the man of the before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. Together in prayer before the Lord, and knowing that here we are, we're a larger group of people, God's children, gathered together, and simultaneously we're all bringing up our thoughts together to God, and he hears us. He hears us. The one who is from everlasting to everlasting, he hears us. And he gladly hears us. He listens to our prayer. And he wants to impart unto us his gifts. And so it's truly a blessing when we have these opportunities as we come together and bring our petitions. And may the prayer that we just uttered, may it bring to fruition the request that we have brought to the Lord. This is a familiar chapter to us who have been raised in the church. We had this from Sunday school, a lesson that we were very familiar with, and it has a powerful story behind it, and we can see God's working in a mighty way, not necessarily because of Joshua or through Joshua, but because of the Lord and who he was, and he was showing his mighty hand and his mighty arm and his ways of how he is showing to all mankind, not only to the Israelites, but to the Canaanites and to the Amorites and those that were in the land of Canaan at this time as they were coming into the land of Israel to possess this land. So they had traveled through the wilderness for 40 years, and all those that had left Egypt had perished in the wilderness. None that had left Egypt made it here across the Jordan into the promised land, save Joshua and Caleb. And so it was that the Lord was with Joshua, and the Lord showed him that in a mighty way, and the Lord was confirming that to Joshua here, even here in the beginning of the book, and the Lord was telling Joshua directly, saying, "As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. Be strong and of a good courage," and he says, "Think upon meditate upon the law day and night. And then you'll make your way to be prosperous and you'll have good success." So the Lord was with Joshua and he was revealing that to them, to him. And then so it was that that the time came, I believe it was 40,000 of them, that they were to traverse the Jordan River and come over into the promised land, into the land of Israel. And so the priests with the ark stood in the Jordan River, dammed it up, and I believe it was 40,000 people crossed over and into the promised land, into the land of Israel. And when they had all crossed the Jordan River, the bank of the river, then the priests with the ark came in last, and then the waters flowed again. And so it was then that the Lord had spoken to Joshua and told him exactly how Joshua should execute this first battle in Jericho. Jericho was a city that was near the Jordan River, so it would be the first city that, as they were traveling west into the Promised Land, this would be the first city that they would come upon. And so the Lord was giving Joshua explicit instructions exactly how he was to execute this battle. And we might think, we know the story, it, in a lot of ways it didn't make sense. What's the point of the priests blowing trumpets and going around the city once? And then the next day they do it another time and do that 6 days, and then on the seventh day to do that seven times. It doesn't seem like the Secretary of Defense would have that in his battle plans. But that was what the Lord commanded. That was what the Lord commanded. And Joshua told them exactly how it was to be performed. And so it was that the men of war went in front. Behind them were the seven priests with seven trumpets. Behind them, the ark was being carried. And behind the ark then was the rest of the group. And they went around the city once, and then they went back to their camp. The next day they did that again, and they did that 6 days. And then on the seventh day, they went around the city seven times, and Joshua gave them instructions: no man shall make any noise with your voice. Only the trumpets are to sound, but no man is to make any noise with your voice until I bid you to. And so it was that on the seventh day, that the seven priests with the seven horns, they went around the city seven times. And then on that seventh time, then Joshua made a proclamation: shout, the city is yours. And just as God had told Joshua what would happen, it happened that the walls fell flat. They fell inward. And when we think of a wall falling, we can imagine a very thin wall getting blown over, such like a fence. You know, it'd be easy to imagine a thin wall falling over. But these were not thin walls. These were city walls. These were thick walls. These were robust, strong, fortified walls. And yet they fell inward. And as they fell inward, then the people were able to go straight in and conquer the city. And so it was that they did. They did. And they shouted on that seventh time, and there was a loud shout. The walls came down, the trumpets were blowing, and they came into the city. And so Joshua was giving them instruction and saying, the city shall be accursed, even it and all that there are in, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. It was that time that Joshua did send two spies into the city of Jericho. And it was told to the king of Jericho that, hey, the spies are in here. And right away he sent to Rahab's house saying, find those two men. But Rahab, guided by God, saved two strangers, and it was going to be such that, as a result of what she did, her people in that city were going to be destroyed. And but yet, because she did this thing, the Lord spared her and her family. And so it was here that Joshua was saying, the city is accursed, even it and all that are in, to the Lord. Only Rahab shall live. So here it was that the city is going to be destroyed, but Rahab was going to live. And then he says, and ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed things, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it. Well, so it is as the way of man, that right away we see in the next chapter that Achan did take of the accursed thing, and Israel was troubled because of it, and they lost that first battle when they went to the next city of Ai. but it was because of a disobedience. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard that the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat. So the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. All the people, all the men of war were circumferenced around the city, and when those walls fell down, all they had to do was go straight into the city and overtake it. And so we see here in verse number 21, it says, they utterly destroyed all that was in the city. And this is the example, this is the lesson that I want to take from this very familiar story and bring it to our modern day life and bring the meaning and the relevance of this word for our lives today. They utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass, and with the edge of the sword. Everything was destroyed. Everybody, everything was destroyed. The words here are utterly destroyed. It says, but Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And so as there was this utter destruction that took place here at this battle, there was also at the same time a rescue mission, a deliverance. There was a saving. At the same time of this utter destruction, there was a rescue. And then it continues on in verse number 24 and 25. Again, it speaks of this utter destruction. And it says, and they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein. Jericho was burnt. Everything that was in there was scorched. Only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And then again, after it speaks of this city being burnt, the city being utterly destroyed, it says, and Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had. And she dwelt in Israel even unto this day because she hid the messengers which Joshua had sent to spy out Jericho. So it was that, again, as it's saying, that the city was burned, that Joshua saved Rahab. He saved her alive and her father's household. this was a time when God, again, he was showing his power. He was showing his greatness. He was going to do these marvelous works, and he was going to show the children of Israel his power. He was going to show the people of the Canaanites and the Amorites who he was, and the people of all these local cities, and they knew it. They knew it when those two spies went to Rahab to see what the city of Jericho was like before this battle took place, this is what Rahab told the two spies. She tells the two spies, she says, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when ye came up out of Egypt, and ye did unto the two kings, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side, Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. Again, using those two words, utterly destroyed. These people were all aware of it, is what she's saying to the two spies. We're aware that God did a marvelous thing. You passed through the Red Sea, it was dried up for you. The Egyptians trying to do the same thing were drowned. She says, I know that God is with you. And then as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. She's revealing to the two spies, this is what we know. We know this about you, people of Israel. We know that you're here. We know that you're going to destroy this land. We know that you take it over. We know that you're doing these great things. another reference to that is in the fifth chapter Verse number one, it says, "And it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, the Mediterranean Sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their hearts melted. Neither was their spirit in them any more because of the children of Israel." God was doing something great. God was destroying, and they knew that God was going to destroy these lands and these cities until the children of Israel were fully occupying that land that God gave them, promised to them, even from way back when Abraham was in the land of Ur, and Abraham was told to go and travel to the land of Canaan, to a land that he would give him and his seed. And so it was that now that the fulfillment of that word was being happened even right now. We know today that the world as we know it will also pass away, will also be utterly destroyed, because Jesus said so. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away." Just as Jericho was utterly destroyed, heaven and earth shall pass away. Jesus said that. So we know that to be true. We know that all that we experience here in our lives, it's all going to be gone. It's all going to be utterly destroyed because Jesus said so. Heaven and earth shall pass away. And as he said that, Peter listened and heard that, and in Peter's epistle he writes the same thing, and he's saying that the heavens are going to pass away with a great noise, and the earth shall be burned up. There's going to be utter destruction, much more than just the city of Jericho. There's going to be utter destruction throughout the whole world. Throughout the whole world, the heavens and the earth shall pass away. We think of hurricanes, and you know, there's the one there in the Atlantic Ocean right now, and we know that can locally cause utter destruction. Buildings and everything can just be wiped out by that local storm. But Jesus is saying, "Heaven and earth shall pass away. The heavens are going to pass away with a great noise, and the earth is going to be burned up, much much greater than a hurricane or this battle that took place at Jericho." We know that to be true. That's the bad news. The good news is, just as Rahab was saved, so can mankind also be saved. And so Jesus makes that very clear in the beginning of his ministry. And in John chapter 3, we reread these verses, and many of us have these verses memorized, where Jesus says, "You don't need to perish. There's utter destruction. The earth is going to pass away and the heavens are going to pass away, but you don't need to. There's a method and there's a way to be saved." So Jesus says, "Whosoever believeth in him should not perish." Whosoever should believe in Jesus should not perish, should not be utterly destroyed, but have eternal life. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," should not be utterly destroyed, "but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." This is what God did. Just as Joshua spared Rahab, we are also being spared. We have a means whereby we might be spared. And so God did this for us in sending of his only begotten Son, that as we believe in him, we might be saved. The Apostle Paul writes very beautifully on this in many passages, and I'm only going to read a couple, and knowing that many more could be read. The Apostle Paul says these words, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save, to redeem, to rescue sinners, of whom I am chief." Joshua saved Rahab and her family. Jesus saves sinners as we believe in him. To the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul writes, and he says, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raised the dead. He's saying that we had the sentence of death. Just as Jericho's days were numbered, it was going to be utterly destroyed. We also had this sentence of death in ourselves as well. But as Rahab trusted that God would save her and spare her, that we also trust in God which raises the dead. And then he says, who, God, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust, he will yet deliver us. Meaning that God delivered us in time past, God is delivering us in the present time, and God will deliver us or rescue us in time to come. And so there is this rescue, there is this saving, there is this pulling out, deliverance that we have from death, from that utter destruction, because of what Jesus Christ has done. But again, as Jesus said, it takes faith on our part. We have to believe. We have to believe that what Jesus hath done and who Jesus is, then we can have life, and that more abundantly. So what does it mean to have faith in him? If we have faith in him, we will be saved. And so this is how it is that we might have faith in him and be saved. Is the Apostle Paul again in 2 Corinthians again says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will rescue you. I will save you. God is saying, this is a life of faith, is to be separated from evil, from evil association. And so this is what God is saying to us. Yes, heaven and earth are going to pass away. Yes, the heaven's going to pass away with a great noise, and the earth is going to be burned up. But we can be rescued from that destruction. We can be saved, even as Rahab was saved. If we walk not in the ways of darkness, if we live and have that faith that with God all things are possible, and he will see us through. Rahab, she had the title of a harlot. Her name, Rahab, means harlot. But it also could mean that she was the innkeeper of the city there, because right away when the two spies were there, the king sent to Rahab's house, because likely that's where people lodged as they came into the city. But she put her faith in God. She put her faith in God as she worked with the spies who came. And so Rahab is mentioned in the New Testament, where even in this Hebrews 11, chapter of Hall of Fame, where it says, Hall of Faith, where it says, By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. She didn't perish with them, because she did this in faith. She did this in faith, and she received the spies with peace. Again, now disassociating herself with any evil, knowing that this was going to happen, that God was showing his marvelous work in the destruction of Jericho, and those cities there in the land of Canaan, which became Israel. So it says that by faith she perished not with them that believed not, because she had received the spies with peace. In James, we read also that there was a peace here of of that when we have faith, we need to have works that are associated with the faith that we have. So James writes in his epistle, "Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she received the messengers or the spies and had sent them out another way?" She had done good things. She was a vessel that helped the children of Israel conquer the city of Jericho. And so God, because of what she did, and because of the faith that she had in God, God richly blessed her lives, as we read here in Joshua chapter 6, that she then dwelt with the children of Israel. She was inhabited with them, and that she actually became very special. She became the great-great-grandmother of King David. She is in the lineage of Jesus Christ. There is a destruction coming. There is a destruction coming. We don't know when. None of us know when. But we see that day is soon appearing. We know that the days were evil before the days of the flood. When the floods came, there was evil and wickedness on this earth that God could no longer tolerate it, and he destroyed the world by a flood. Sodom and Gomorrah became so wicked that God could no longer tolerate it, even if there were 10 people that were righteous in that city. But he destroyed it. And Lot's wife saw that destruction. And likewise, Rahab very likely saw the destruction of her city. She likely saw that it was all burned down. So there's a day coming that we can see in our society, and we don't want to limit God on his level of mercy, but the days of today are getting very, very close socially to the days of Noah before the flood, and to the way that the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were in that time when there was that destruction. And so we know that at some point God is going to say, "Enough, the time has come. Heaven and earth shall pass away." And when he says that, when God says enough, heaven and earth shall now pass away, we read in Revelation of what that's going to be like. It says, "The fearful and the unbelieving, those that didn't walk by faith, those that didn't believe in Jesus Christ, who he was, and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone." Utter destruction. There is that time coming. But the good news is that there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And so we read that here in Revelation chapter 21, where John, as the Apostle John, as he was shown this vision, he writes and says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, so there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven as prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." A beautiful imagery. This is that saving grace that God is giving unto us. "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God, even as Rahab became as one of the Israelites and became in the lineage of the prominent people of Israel." God is saying, he will himself be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Amen.
Rahab had to stand out in faith and express her belief when the city around about her, when the king, when probably the priests of their religion were all putting pressure on her not to be a traitor, to hold on, to put their confidence in their strong walls. There's a lot of pressure. And Jesus described the time of the end as a time of great pressure for believers, where religious leaders and civic leaders will put pressure on the faithful to compromise. And this passage of Scripture is for us to take to heart, to remember that the city was overcome through faith, and that Rahab was delivered through faith. And it is our faith in Jesus Christ that will help us overcome the world. May we take that into our hearts and walk by it to God's honor and glory. Amen.